I won. Well, this is Stories and Stuff, and Joy Bubbles here in Minneapolis telling the stories. And can you imagine how I came in dead last in the spelling bee? Dead last. And how I, at the same time, was in first place. And, well, I'm speller number 12, too. And was the champion orthographer. That's a good word for a speller. Yeah, see, by coming in dead last, it means I was the last one spelling, and that means you win. So was I in first place or last place? Well, you decide. I guess it's whichever way. We were Thursday and Friday nights, all night, just about till maybe 6 in the morning, the first night, and almost that late, I think, the second night. And a spelling bee. Have you ever been in a spelling bee? This is one I'll never forget. Well, of course, there was the words. You know, it started out with physiognomy, and I was so glad I was able to get the first word. And there was words like borborygmus and demulcent and conventicle and eke, like eking out a living, and okapi and cassowary and phalanger and philfot. Oh, I can't ever forget philfot. I had no idea about that word. What is philfot? And the definition was a British heraldic symbol resembling a swastika. Well, that wasn't going to help me with roots or anything. It didn't seem to have any. And so I said, what language is it from? Well, that's uncertain, possibly Anglo-Saxon. So when you have to guess, you have to guess. And I said, well, to myself, Anglo-Saxon, in other words, Phil, F-I-L-L, had an F-Y-L at the beginning of the Anglo-Saxon word that it came from. And so I said, I'll try that. So I thought, F-Y-L, and then fot, I'll do, let's see, fot rhymes with lot, then got, and hot. So I'll say fot is F-O-T. Let's try that. So I said, philfot, F-Y-L-F-O-T, philfot. I always like to talk confident when I'm least sure, you know. And I was sort of sure the bell was going to ring, and I was already starting to cry because I didn't really want to get out that early in the bee. And you know what she said? That's correct. I was stunned. Well, I'll never forget philfot. As a matter of fact, it just sounds fun to say. So like, oh, that philfot over at the cable company got my bill fouled up. Or, hey, I'm hungry again. Could you give me one of those little philfots? You know, the little steak sandwiches they were serving me all night there at the business conference center. So now we're always talking about philfots. And my mother, Dawn, in Australia is going to keep the trophy for me at her house because it's kind of large. She said, oh, that's a really big philfot. I've seen them, you know, in past bees where they've given them to people. And so she's going to keep it. Champion orthographer of 2006. Well, the club, Cultural Creatives, their mission is to help people remember who they are. And this spelling bee, for me, was a lot more than just the words. Because for so long, I thought, you know, in my life, I would never be called champion of anything. It was just something that has to do with sports. And I mean, I've been called wizard and genius and technical marvel and all that stuff over, you know, with my phone, telephone technical knowledge and stuff over the years. And but I never thought I'd be called champion until this time. Actually, we were accused of being part of a soccer game at 4:30 in the morning on Saturday. Dawn, when I won, she was screaming so loud and stuff, stomping her feet and everything, that somebody came in and said, did your favorite team just win a soccer game or something? And no, why? Well, that's usually the only reason somebody is making this much noise at 4:30 in the morning, you know, like when they're watching a soccer game in Europe or something. But so we had to tell them it was a spelling bee. But you know about remembering who you are. One of the words I had was Kristallnacht. And that was 9/11 it happened on, even though it was actually in November. Yeah, November 9th can be 9/11 because in Europe and Australia and other places, they give the day first and then the month. So what we would say 11/9, they would say 9/11. November 9th of 1938 when a bunch of Nazi thugs went around burning, breaking synagogues, destroying Jewish holy books and things, just coming into Jews' houses just because they were Jewish and breaking their valuables, their china, dumping all the food on the floor in a heap and kicking down things and tearing up pictures and just anything they could do. It was just an amazing amount of horror, the shattering of glass in one big night. And I don't know why, when Kristallnacht came up on the test, on the spelling bee, I just got overwhelmed. I could almost like hear inside, maybe I was just tired, but I could hear inside the screaming and the shattering of glass and smell the smoke from the synagogues, and it just became so real to me all of a sudden that I almost couldn't spell the word, and I said, this is such a feeling. Could I just have a moment? Oh, take your time, she said. And she said, because of the emotional content, if we talk to the judges and if you wish the word taken off, we can take it off and not count it against you and give you a new one. Well, I said, I appreciate that sensitivity, but if it would be all right, I would like to spell it in memory of those that were hurt so terribly. Oh, fine, she said, take your time. Go ahead whenever you're ready. So I did spell it, Kristallnacht, Kristallnacht, in memory, I said. And I later found out a lady was crying in the room in Australia where the actual rest of the spelling bee was taking place with the 60 or so spellers. And she had survived that time, and she had some fragments and some souvenirs, some fragments from a Jewish scroll and some glass shards and things that were dear to her. And she had always kind of wanted to talk about this and hadn't been able to. And she vowed right then that she was going to do oral history and, talk at schools and other places about it. Because she said, my years are numbered. And if nobody talked about this, it would soon be forgotten. And there wouldn't be somebody in a spelling bee of the future that would have to cry because of that word. And may we never forget. So, and then there's Nigel. Have you ever known somebody, they just have a wordless something about them? He was entering. And there was also Gareth, these people in the spelling bee. Gareth is less than 7 years old. He was the youngest one ever to enter the bee, with all of us big grown-up people spelling these big words, and Gareth decided to do it. He's so homeschooled, and when he decides to do something, he does. They kind of talk to him about long odds, but he came in and, decided this was his first year and he was going to do it. And he said, I don't know that I'll win this time, but you know what? I'll do better next year. I'll do better than I did this year. It's called personal best, he said, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a better personal best next year than I got a personal best this year, and that's that. So he got about 20 words right, some quite big words, actually. And the one he missed was aqueduct. He spelled it with an E, but he knew aqua was water in Latin, A-Q-U-A. He's read the Iliad and the Odyssey and the Bible, whole thing. I haven't done that. But anyway, the bell rang on him. A lot of people cry when that happens, like I would, too. We even had a crying room set up for me. You know what he did? He said, hey, you know what that bell means? And they were going to explain to him about being incorrect or something. He said, you know what it means? Hey, guys, see you next year. And he skipped out of there, they said, with a bubbly kind of a smile on his face. He was skipping along and went out into the hall where some friends of his were out there with some toys for him to play with. And he was there, too, when I got crowned the champion. And he said it was all right with his mother for him to get my phone number. You'll call me from Australia. We've already had a nice talk. And then there was Nigel. I call it a wordless something, and whenever he would spell, I don't know, there was just, I can't explain it. He had such kind of a power behind it or something, and every now and then during the break, I'd say, Nigel, the champion in me greets the champion in you. Namaste. That's a Sanskrit greeting that you kind of salute each other's fullness. The way I translate it is, I bring my cup to share my fullness rather than fill my emptiness, and to share our fullness with each other. The fullness of my cup is shared with the fullness of your cup. So I was saying that to Nigel, and he would say that back to me and tell me I was a man of vision, and it got to the end of the B, and you know what? There was us two, me and Nigel. We were the only ones left spelling. And the rules changed. If you, one of us gets a word incorrect, instead of just being out, we get to the other contestant tries to correct it, spell it, and see if they could get it right. And then if they do that, then they get another word to spell. And if they spell both of those words, they're crowned champion. So in the meantime, I had words like Schönkeln, which means, it's German, it means linking arms and swaying to music, and Gemütlichkeit, a friendly camaraderie, warm.